You're with us for the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're slowing down this hour to remember one-room country grade schools in the Driftless area. It's a new memoir called Ridge Stories in just a moment. But first, it's our year-end member drive that is going strong here at WPR. I'm here with Jennifer Dargan. Good morning.
Good morning, Kate.
And you make the Ideas Network programs possible when you give during this year-end member drive. Join in, support the programs you rely on all year long with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Thank you so much to those of you who donated during our last hour. And right now we have a special opportunity. When you make a gift of any amount, current members are going to donate an extra $100.
That is so awesome.
Yes.
That is great. So basically you give a gift this hour and it's going to be elevated by $100. This is their way of encouraging you to join them in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. Increase the impact of your gift right now at this moment at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Federal and state tax dollars provide important funding for WPR programs, which do come from listeners like you. Voluntary listener support is actually the biggest percentage of support for WPR programs.
You make the difference. You make the quality, you make the variety, the independence of programs on Wisconsin Public Radio possible. Because WPR matters to you, make a personal contribution to pay for the programs you listen to. Call it Skin in the Game, right, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And our world is just getting more complex all the time, so you might want to make your donation because you rely on Wisconsin Public Radio to turn those complicated issues and the news of the day into understandable language so you know how they'll affect you.
And for you to get programs that are relevant to your life, we rely on your financial support. It is the biggest source of our funding, and that's why we ask that if you've never given before, make your first ever contribution right now, say $10 a month or $120 during this year-end member drive at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We have an exciting drawing this drive. Donate any amount and you could win a Sonos One smart speaker. What would you listen to?
Play WPR.
Atmospheric instrumental stuff when I cook because it just puts me in a calm state of mind.
The very first thing I would listen to would be Africa by Toto by Weezer. I love it.
Five lucky winners will enjoy hands-free voice command access to music, programs, and podcasts from WPR and more with this smart speaker. No contribution is necessary. You can see all the rules at WPR.org/drawing. Better yet, you're automatically entered when you make a donation of any amount. Here's how.
Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your donation. Good morning. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and I'm here with Jennifer Dargan. Your support during this year-end member drive makes the WPR programs you rely on possible. So your gift of $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount you end up choosing, that is the right amount.
No wrong amount, and giving to WPR is easy. All we need is your name, your contact information, how much you'd like to give, and how you'd like to pay.
It takes just a few minutes on a Friday morning to make your contribution to Wisconsin Public Radio. It'll feel good. And those few minutes, they fund your daily listening. Your support right now, it really makes a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And remember, we've got something special going on this hour. WPR will receive an additional $100 when you donate. So maybe you're going to decide to give $100. That becomes $200 for us. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 and increase the impact of your support for WPR as we head into the new year.
Yeah, what a boost, right? Any amount you pledge right now, you add $100 to it. Boom, just like that. And then as this added bonus for supporting the programs you love, you'll have five chances to win the Sonos One Smart Speaker. No contribution necessary. All the details are at WPR.org/drawing. Better yet, you're automatically entered when you give any amount right now at WPR.org or 888 888- 202-2552. And sustainers making ongoing monthly gifts, we appreciate you so much, and you're automatically entered.
Thank you so much to our sustainers. And if you're not a sustainer, you can become one right now. It's really easy to get going with monthly donations from your bank account or your credit card at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It's a really nice way to provide ongoing support for the programs you love.
On a Friday, you're with us for the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and we're remembering life on a small dairy farm on Pleasant Ridge. 20 milk cows or so, a few pigs for good measure, some laying hens, no television set until age 10. And what about those breathless panoramic views of the Driftless area? Comes with wind gusts that barely keep a young farm kid's feet on the ground. Did you grow up in the Driftless or on a farm? What are your most vivid memories? We're at 800-642-1234 to join the conversation. Gary Jones taught English at the high school and college level, including freshman composition at UW-Platteville. His new memoir is called Ridge Stories, Herding Hens, Powdering Pigs, and Other Recollections from a Boyhood in the Driftless. Gary, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you. It's wonderful to be here.
What is so gorgeous about this memoir is that each chapter is like a personal letter to me. The dear reader. I found a very clear connection in this ability for you to create a snapshot of this life as a farm kid in the Driftless. How did you create this collage and this memoir?
I spent a great deal of time thinking about when I was a child, and as I would think about those experiences, they would come back to me. I, of course, talked with my parents and my grandparents whenever my memory was not as good as it might be. But it's the sort of thing where once it starts, it just develops a momentum of its own.
And you started way back in the 70s doing
this.
That's
right. That's right. When I talked with my wife about our childhood, she was raised on a farm too, close to Platteville. I was close to Richland Center, and her experience was quite different than mine. We were a bit antiquated in our approach to farming, which maybe makes farming more difficult, but makes for good stories.
That's curious. I mean, what made it different? She was in the vicinity, and yet you had very different experiences. What was different?
Well, our land was much different. That was a part of it. Around Platteville, the land tended to be rolling and relatively regular. We were hills and valleys. You farmed on the top of a ridge or in the bottom of a valley. And the fields were cut up, and it was a whole different sort of thing. You couldn't use a lot of the huge machinery that you see now. Would not work at all well on our farm.
There were some extremes.
Yes, definitely.
I loved how you would put rocks in your pocket to keep you grounded because of the wind. What's up with that wind?
Well, actually, that's a bit of a figurative description.
Oh,
there.
I'm going with it.
Well, you could do that. It was the sort of thing where actually what you would do was just lean into the wind.
Yeah.
And you would do okay. Well, wind was definitely a factor on the ridge. Of course, we had a windmill when I was very little, and that was necessary. But the wind always blew, it seemed.
So it's you disassembled the windmill when you got electricity then?
The windmill, yes. The blades of the windmill came down. The tower was still there. And what we did to, when we finally had a television set, just to try to get a signal, would have an antenna on a rotor on top of the windmill.
It had a new purpose after that.
Oh, yes.
When did you guys get electricity? When did it come?
In the 1930s. This was before my time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But my father would talk about when they would milk cows, he would be carrying a kerosene lantern. And there was one time when they were walking back on the driveway was icy, and a tomcat was riding on my uncle's shoulder, and someone slipped, and the windmill went in a circle into the air. The cat ran, and it was all very exciting.
What role did 4-H have in your childhood and this culture you grew up in?
Well, 4-H was a social occasion above all else. we had the 4-H's for health, hands, heart, and I forget the other one now, but it was softball during the summer was great fun. We would have card parties where we would be joined by people in the community during the winter, and it was just a wonderful social occasion. When you're raised on a farm, you don't play with kids on the block. You know, mm-hmm. it's a bike trip to visit a playmate. You know, so those occasions were wonderful.
I love the herding hens part of the title and wondering what the chore was about those hens.
The hens. Well, my mother had free-range chickens, you know, so they would wander widely, yes. And the favorite place of the chickens, of course, if they were free-range chickens, would be on the front porch where they would leave mementos to let us all know that they had been there. So when my mother had young chickens, they were in a range house that was pulled some distance out into a field, and then that way it would be too far for them to come back. The bad part is that I carried water to them, so I didn't appreciate that. And then the herding of the hens is the pullets, and there would be some cockerels as well. When evening would come, they would roost on the top of the range house. And this building was, it had chicken wire sides, you know, and a slanted roof. Uh-huh. And they would be up there thinking this is a nice place to be. But if they weren't shut in, the fox from the woods would come up and die.
Take care of the business there. Yeah.
No, so my job was to, in the early evening in the summer, was to grab them and toss them in. So I was herding hens in that sense.
We're talking with author, journalist, and retired English instructor Gary Jones. His new memoir is called Ridge Stories. We'll be back in a moment with Gary Jones here on the Ideas Network. If you're just joining us, it is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and we're exploring the new memoir by Gary Jones from the Wisconsin Historical Society Press, and these are glimpses of a childhood in the Driftless, a boy in a small farm in Pleasant Ridge. But right now, let's take a moment for our year-end member drive. I'm here with Jennifer Dargan. Good morning.
Hello.
This is our year-end drive. Wisconsin Public Radio is listener-supported. Your gift right now ensures the programs you rely on have a strong start in 2020. You make WPR programs possible as we head into the new year. When you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we have a special opportunity going on right now. It's a great time to donate because current members will add an extra $100 to every gift this morning. And it's their way of inspiring you to support Wisconsin Public Radio. Boost the impact of your contribution right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
That is so cool. Every single donation gets boosted by $100. You know you can get headlines and sound bites in other places. And where do you go, though, for in-depth discussions?
Me, personally, The Morning Show on the Ideas Network,
Thank
of course.
You very much.
Here you don't just get those 20-second clips or the few minutes of back and forth. You get plenty of time to develop ideas and ask questions. WPR is a great source of in-depth information and your support right now at WPR.org. Or at 888-202-2552. It makes it all possible.
We have this great opportunity right at this moment from current members, and they'll donate an additional $100 when you give this hour, an added $100. Increase the impact of your support for Wisconsin Public Radio programs when you give right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
This season, your gift to WPR can also feed people all over the state of Wisconsin. Give $10 or $20 a month to support your favorite WPR programs and help feed those facing hunger in your area. Do two good things with your WPR gift right now when you choose one of the food bank gifts. Here's how.
Go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 to make your donation in support of the programs you count on. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Good morning, and I'm here with Jennifer Dargan. It's your support today of Wisconsin Public Radio that keeps all the programs you enjoy going strong. And whether your contribution is $10 a month, whether it's $100 a month, we absolutely appreciate and count on your gift.
And when you give today, become a sustainer. I can personally recommend this. As a sustaining member, you just set it up and you don't have to worry about it. You give like you listen, which is all the time. You can give an amount, say $10 or $15 a month, and then that automatically comes out of your bank account or your credit card, and your gift will continue until you ask us to make a change.
And this means we can depend on you the way you depend on us, day in and day out, year in and year out. That's how it works. You're still in control. You can change your giving at any time. So do that. Become a sustainer right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And this is particularly a good time to set up that gift because WPR is going to receive an additional $100 when you donate. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 and increase the impact of your support for WPR as we head into this new year.
And choose one of the food bank gifts when you give $10 or $20 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. You'll make a difference for WPR and for those facing hunger in your area.
Make a donation like Caitlin from Sun Prairie, who donated and said, WPR is what brings calm to my morning commute.
I love it.
Focus to my workday and intellect to my kitchen. It was time to give back. Thank you, Caitlin. Join her at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Thank you so much.
The new memoir is a compilation of these really crisp snapshots, snippets of a boy's coming up on a farm in the Driftless area. It's a rural landscape dotted with cheese factories and grade schools and churches. Gary Jones recalls the milk truck making daily pickups to haul the milk to cheese factories. What are your remembrances of life on a farm? Does the Driftless hold a special place in your heart? Join in to the conversation, 800-642-1234. The book is called Ridge Stories, and Gary Jones stays with us. Let's go to the phones now. Nancy is joining us from Grafton. Hi, Nancy.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
I'm baking cookies right now. Can you sell those Anna's cookies?
I can't. Oh, Anna. Oh, yeah. All right.
Well, I grew up on a 160-acre farm up in Marathon County, South Edgar, and it was December 17th, and my folks were going to go to Wausau and actually buy something for the house, a bedroom set they were going to get. You know, it always was for the cows or tractors or something, but this time it was going to be something for the house. And I wanted to go along because I had saved up a little money. I was the oldest of six kids, and I wanted to get my mother a birthday, a Christmas present, but she said, no, 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 you stay home, you got to take care of the kids. Baby was three. Mm. And so I stayed home. Well, we were milking cows that evening because they weren't home yet. My folks weren't home yet, and gosh, the priest came. Oh, what's he here? We're milking cows. There was an accident.
Oh, I'm sorry, Nancy.
I said, was anybody hurt? Well, your dad's in the hospital. What about Mama? She's in heaven. So that's the way it went. But the next morning was Sunday. It was my sister Mary's birthday. And so anyway, we went to church with my grandpa and my uncle, and after church, I had to go down to the funeral home and pick out my mother's casket and her clothes. And, you know, you never had a corsage on a farm, but I said, she's going to have some flowers on. She had a corsage. So, anyhow, the thing is, at 14 years old, I had to take over. I finished my first year of high school. And then, because we had a relative that came and helped out. But then I had to learn how to bake bread and how to wash clothes in the wringer washer. And
took up all of
all
so many
things.
Of the chores on
and,
the farm.
You know what? Our dad, today is his birthday.
Oh.
St. Nicholas Day, you know. he always had to get us something from St. Nicholas. We always had to get a little candy and stuff like that.
Well, Nancy, we
And you know what? My dad raised us six kids on that farm. We all grew up. We all got married. We all had kids. We all stayed married. And I'm the oldest one, and we're all still here. And God bless us, everyone. Oh,
that's such a beautiful story. Nancy, thank you for making space to share that with us. Gary, it is community that is the heart of
it is.
Farm
it
communities.
Is. It is. And what does happen is that I'm sure that while your mother was still alive, that you were still very much a part of running the farm. And the one thing that should be a consolation to you is that your mother would have to be so happy that you were able to take her place. Because if you think of passing away, you worry about the people that you've left behind. So you've done a very good thing.
Your mother was the unofficial raspberry queen of the Ridge.
That's true. That's true.
She carried on the tradition of Granny Jones.
That's right.
So she had these beautiful raspberry patches, but they didn't get that way without a lot of effort.
Right.
Can you tell us about the berry operation?
Certainly, I can. Well, one of the things that I remember every time I'm in a grocery store and I buy those little tiny packages of raspberries for several dollars, I remember that my mother sold raspberries for 50 cents a quart delivered. You know, a lot of people thought that her berries just sort of happened. You know, you'd go out and pick them. But she used University of Wisconsin Extension bulletins so that she knew about pruning and fertilizing. And she spent a lot of time taking care of her berries to make them bear. But it was a wonderful time. I enjoyed helping pick berries. It was we picked every other day, an all-day job, and then taking them into town. And we were subsistence farmers. My mother was doing her part to augment the milk check that varied and was not always great. You know, by raising chickens and raspberries and doing other things to bring in money. Mm. Good memories. She was a good cook, and raspberry pie and fruzz was very good, a dessert that my Granny Jones had made of Jell-O and raspberries and whipped cream. You know?
Both of which of these recipes are in your memoir. We're talking
That's
with
true.
Gary Jones, who's our guide. He's written for several Door County and Milwaukee newspapers, published poetry, fiction, plays. His new memoir is called Ridge Stories, Herding Hens, Powdering Pigs, and Other Recollections from a Boyhood in the Driftless. We'll get back to the conversation after this news update. Stay with us on the Ideas Network. On a Friday, it is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Thanks for being here. We're remembering life on the Ridge, Pleasant Ridge, that is, coming up in the 50s, milking cows, working the land. We'll get back to the memoir about life in the Driftless in a moment. But first, let's talk about our year-end member drive. I'm here with Jennifer Dargan. Good morning.
Good morning.
You know, set your favorite programs up for success in 2020. That really is the message here. With your gift during this year-end member drive, maybe you've already given this year, or you make monthly ongoing gifts. Make a special year-end gift right now for the programs you rely on all year long. Takes just a few minutes at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And a great reason to make that extra gift right now is because current members are going to donate an extra $100 to every gift of any amount this hour. It's their way of inspiring you to support Wisconsin Public Radio. Boost the impact of your contribution right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
One of the things I love and adore about the morning show is that we get to spend time with authors, authors who write about so many things, authors who write about life in the Driftless, as we're talking about right now. And you're part of these conversations with your calls and your experiences, kitchen table conversations right here on the Ideas Network. And these are the kinds of conversations you count on from the morning show.
WPR is listener supported, and that means your donation. And you can make that at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Your donation makes the many topics you hear every day possible. So pick an amount that works for you and then make your gift right now. And we will have an extra $100 added on to it.
Indeed, the time is right. site right now. We have this great opportunity from current members. So they're going to donate an additional $100 when you give your pledge this hour. Increase the impact of your support for Wisconsin Public Radio programs when you give right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I'm Bill from Wausau, Wisconsin, and I enjoy being a WPR sustainer, and I think you will too. I think it's important because things are said and done on the radio that are important, that need to be said, that we don't get on any other radio station. I listen to it all the time. It's on the car, it's on the radio in the morning when we get up, and it's on all day practically, and it's just the way we live. I know that the money is going to be well used. It's a valuable service, and I just feel good about it.
Thanks so much, Bill. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Good morning. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and I'm here with Jennifer Dargan. Listener support, that is the biggest chunk of funding for the WPR programs you rely on. And that is why your support during this year-end member drive is so critical. Maybe your gift is $10 a month. Maybe it's $100 a month. Whatever amount you choose is the right amount.
Maybe a dollar a day is the right amount for your Wisconsin Public Radio listening. And when you think about it, a dollar a day is a really good value. It's less than a cup of coffee or soda or a day of cell phone service.
So that dollar a day comes out to $30 a month, and you can set that up as a monthly transfer from your bank account or charge to your credit card. Make your gift now. Every gift goes up by $100 in this hour in the amount that's right for you. Add on $100 to it. That's going to be chipped in at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Kristen from Baldwin is a member, and before she donated, she said, I was thinking of what makes me happy during the day, and WPR came to mind.
Aww.
If that's you too, maybe you should make a donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. One more, Kate, from Nicholas in Bloomer, who said, I can finally stop feeling guilty for listening to the informative, intriguing, intellectual, and fair radio for free. Keep up the good work.
I was like, keep up the words. Come on, come on. Bring them on, bring them on. Oh, my goodness. Your gift is powerful. It really makes a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Remember, you will receive an additional $100 when you donate. WPR will receive, I must say. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thanks for your support. We are remembering a bygone era, a small dairy farm perched high in the hills of the Driftless area, life on Pleasant Prairie, the haven of some honest-to-God hill people, as Gary Jones refers to his kin in his new book called Ridge Stories. He writes, on the ridge, a pie was cut in six pieces, and many farmers found they had room for a second piece. So what are your remembrances of coming of age on the farm? What chores did you do? Who are your closest friends and neighbors? What do you remember about harvest? Join in 800-642-1234. The conversation, 800-642-1234. And Gary Jones stays with us. So, Gary, funny farm stories. There was this person in your life, but she went by the name of Charlotte. Can you tell us about your hopes and dreams for Charlotte at the time as a boy?
Yes. One of my jobs on the farm was to mow the lawn, and we had a huge lawn. And my father had purchased a series of used lawnmowers that he was convinced he could make as good as new, and they weren't quite as good as new. And as I would be mowing lawn, I was trying to come up with ideas of ways to make my job easier, and I thought of a sheep. sheep eat grass. They're happy eating grass. We had neighbors who had sheep that ate grass, and so my father thought, okay, we'll give it a try. So to the auction barn, and we brought back a sheep, and it didn't work as well as I thought that it might. The sheep, unfortunately, left deposits in the lawn. When I tethered the sheep, we had crop circles. The sheep would get away, upset my mother. She would shriek, "That sheep is in my raspberry patch again." And
well, Charlotte followed you into the house.
She did, yes. That was interesting. I had a call. We were out, the two of us were out mowing lawn, and my mother called me in to take a phone call, and I came in, and I wasn't paying attention, and Charlotte just dutifully followed me. And I heard my mother yell, "Get that sheep out of my house." And the 4-H agent said, "What?" Wondering what was going on. So, but it wasn't really Charlotte's fault.
No, yeah.
But it's, she was an interesting experience. People talk about how stupid that sheep are. You know, but I had a sheep farmer tell me that you can lasso a sheep only once. Cows you can several times, but a sheep catches on quickly. Maybe listeners who have sheep would second that thought.
And Charlotte had a baby.
She did. She had Milford. The story about Milford is this. My mother's father had sheep, and one was the buck sheep, the male sheep, and he was very aggressive. My mother was terrified of that sheep. And what had happened one day with Milford, well, I should mention that my younger brother was very fond of football. And during breaks during a football game, he would go outside with Milford and they would run and tackle each other. And
nice.
So Milford grew up thinking that's a wonderful way to live. Well, my mother was carrying a bucket of soapy water from the house to the barn to wash the milk things, and Milford came running along behind her wanting to play, thinking she would play tackle football with him. And my mother panicked and "Go away," she said, "go away." And Milford didn't, so she dumped this whole bucket of hot water, which fortunately was not that hot on Milford. And I said what he looked a bit like was a dirty sweater that had just come out of soaking in a sink with a wool light or something. Poor Milford, but he survived.
So you detail your experiences going to this one-room schoolhouse,
yes.
Including listening to Let's Draw in other WHA educational
That's right.
programs.
That's right.
How did education look to you in that environment? What was it like?
I had nothing to compare it to begin with. It was a one-room school. The thing that was good about it is that it was very familial. Well, the grade school that I went to had only, in first and second grade, there were 10 kids in the entire student body, 1 through 8, you know, and a very kindly, very young male teacher. But it was like a family in that the older kids both looked after the younger kids and picked on them. Some of the education was sort of, well, can you imagine having drawing instruction by listening to a radio. It was fine. The teacher had to be jack of all trades. You know,
sure.
A one-room school teacher was not only teaching all subjects, but also the janitor, the playground supervisor. Occasionally.
And we would roam at recess.
Yes.
Yeah,
exactly.
there weren't any fences
no.
around you.
And it was absolutely wonderful. And the thing that was really interesting about it is that we could be maybe a mile from school in our play, and the Pleasant Ridge School had a bell in a belfry with a rope coming down through the ceiling, and you could hear it for miles. And once we heard that, like Pavlovian puppies, we would run as fast as we could to make it back to the school building. We'd get there in time. Recesses were wonderful.
When you were mentioning the soapy water, it reminded me about how you stayed clean on the farm and Saturday night bathing.
Yes, right. Until I was 8, we didn't have indoor plumbing. We had cold water that came into the house, and that was it. So we had an outdoor toilet, but bathing was a once a week activity on the kitchen floor with a galvanized tin tub, the sort that people now use to put ice and cool beverages.
Yes.
And
mm-hmm.
And the way that it would work is the children would bathe first, It would be on the kitchen floor, water heated in a tea kettle. And after the children, then the farmer would be next. And, well, each successive bather would have another tea kettle of hot water added to keep the water warm. And then the last person to bathe would be the farm wife, the mother. And that's just kind of the way it was. And you can see their sociological commentary involved in that kind of a situation. But it was the kind of thing I joked that if you sat too long in the tub, that when you got up, you would have the imprint of the ridges on the bottom of the tub on your butt.
You know, after writing this book, you know, what do you think about the small dairy farm today?
It many times makes me weep, to be perfectly honest. You hear stories of farmers who have no choice but to quit, and it's a sad thing. One of the things that I like about having written that book is that, in a way, it keeps small dairy farms alive. And I like that. And, you know, as I've told people, I didn't want to farm, but I felt ambivalent about farming. I wanted to escape the farm. And then once I was gone, then I felt bad that I wasn't there. And I think sometimes those ambivalent feelings are good if you're a writer, rather than seeing the world in shades of black and white, if you see it in gray. And so I feel good about that. And what I did is, when the opportunity presented itself, I purchased half of the farm. And so I have that. And so away the farm is still with me. And I bought just of the 90 acres, half was in woodland and the other half was in cropland that I rent. And so I can go back. And in a way, the farm is still there. And I like that very much.
As you look out at the Driftless area today at Pleasant Ridge, mm-hmm. what changes have you seen over the decades?
My wife and I have a friend who's a farm wife, not on Pleasant Ridge, but in a different area. And what she said before she left the farm is that I don't have neighbors anymore. In the Driftless area where I was raised, if a farmer retired or passed away, another farmer did not take over the land, but instead, I mean, no one would move in to the house and run the farm, but instead the land would be sold to another farmer who was adjacent to that and would work the land. The farm house would sometimes be torn down or other times be rented by somebody from the city who wants a vacation home, or somebody who works in the city and wants to get their kids out in the country and commutes to work. And so the schools close, the churches close, cheese factories are gone, sawmills are gone, and it's a different look than the little you used to see wildflowers and wildlife habitat along the roads. And now, in the interests of keeping roads clear of snow and keeping the utility wires healthy and happy, all of that has been removed. So a lot of the picturesque quality is gone in a number of places. So I miss that.
We have time for one more story, and hopefully it's going to be a fun one that makes us laugh. Can you leave us with one?
With a story? No. Well, let me think a little bit. One story I could tell you is the story of Steve Bryant. Other areas in the country had Paul Bunyan or Pecos Bill, but we had Steve Bryant, who would tell a story. So one of the stories that he told was taking his team of horses and wagon into town to Richland Center, 10-mile trip one way, you know, to buy groceries. he'd taken hay to feed the horses before the return trip. He was almost home coming up the Dix Hill when a terrible rainstorm occurred, drenched Steve and also the leather traces of the harness. The horses continued, you know, moving up the hill. The wagon sat at the bottom with Steve on it. And then the sun came out. And when the sun came out, it dried Steve and it also dried the harnesses, so they returned to their regular size, and the wagon went jingling up the hill then and caught up with the horses just as they reached the top. But a bad thing happened. There was kerosene in the wagon. Some of that slopped on the hay. But by the time that Steve had unhitched the horses, he thought the kerosene had probably evaporated, so he just pitched it into the manger, and the horses ate it. But it made the horses a little gassy, Steve found out the next morning the hard way. When he lit his pipe, the explosion blew him clean out of the barn. Other than that, no harm was done. So that's Steve Bryant. There are a lot of Steve Bryant stories that I include in the book as well.
Gary, thank you so much for joining us.
It's been really fun. I thank you for having me.
Gary Jones is a writer and journalist. His book is Ridge Stories, Herding Hens, Powdering Pigs, and Other Recollections from a Boyhood in the Driftless. Coming up, it's Wisconsin Weekend, and we tour craft fairs around the state. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. You're with us for The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and we are going to check in on our year-end member drive that is moving right along on a Friday. I'm here with Jennifer Dargan. Good morning.
Good morning.
This is listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio, this year-end member drive. Think about how much you've learned from and enjoyed WPR programs in 2019. So with 2020 right around the corner, take action and give the programs you rely on a really strong base in the new year. Strong start, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You have a very special opportunity right now. It's a great time to donate because current members are going to add an extra $100 to every gift this hour, and it's their way of inspiring you to support Wisconsin Public Radio. You can boost the impact of your contribution right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Oh, it's so much fun when we talk with authors here on The Morning Show. And this last conversation with Gary Jones and talking about life on a farm in the Driftless region, so much there, so many stories. And these are the kinds of conversations that you count on from The Morning Show.
And WPR is listener-supported. That means your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It makes the topics that you hear every day possible. So you just pick an amount that works for you and then make your gift.
And during this holiday season, give something extra when you support WPR. Your donation makes the programs you love possible. And you can ask for one of the food bank gifts when you give $10 or $20 a month.
This is a really great way to pick a thank you gift. We've been doing this for a few years. And they provide meals to those facing hunger in your area through regional food banks. So you can do two great things at once with your gift to WPR, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
December is a special time of year. We ask some people, what are your year-end traditions?
Our family generally gets together at my mom and dad's house, and we just spend time with each other.
Going for a walk in the first snowfall of the year.
Getting out my Hawaiian Aloha Advent calendar, which has a giant Santa Claus in an Aloha shirt and flip-flops.
Make giving to Wisconsin Public Radio one of your year-end traditions. In return, you'll get programs that make you think, laugh, and start conversations all year long. Here's how.
Go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 to make your donation. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. I'm here with Jennifer Dargan, and it's your support during this year-end member drive that makes the WPR programs you rely on possible. And your gift right now of $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount you end up choosing, that is the right amount.
And you have a great opportunity right now. Current members will donate an additional additional $100 when you give this hour. Increase the impact of your support for Wisconsin Public Radio programs right now. There's only a few more minutes to get in on this really special opportunity when you give WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And think about what's important to you. Family, friends, your hobbies. These are things you invest in. Your time, sometimes your money. Giving to what's important to you, it makes a difference in your life. It makes you feel good.
And the biggest source of funding for WPR is listener support. So your gift makes a difference in your life and in the lives of hundreds of thousands of other listeners. And together, we can make an impact on our community. Make your difference today with, say, your first ever gift of $10 a month or $120 at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Your gift right now, so important. It is powerful. It makes a difference. And an additional $100 on top of it when you donate WPR.org, 888-202-2552. And thanks.